Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, who's made you mad? Who or what? 615-737-1025. Let's load up the phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and get your reaction. This is where you participate in the show. $25 gift card to Burger Republic on the line. A really good prize for you. Just made the list. Chase, you've been dying to get started, so lead the way.
All righty. I feel like we have somewhat covered this subject before, but I have seen multiple violations of it, and I just can't. I can't stands anymore. So I will admit that I'm not the best at spelling initially of somebody's name, but I correct that issue, and especially people that I know, and especially people that have been in the public eye for a long time. So I saw a text on our text line late last week, and they were referencing Roman Josi, the captain of the Nashville Predators, who has been with the Nashville Predators for many, many seasons, and they spelt his name Y-O-S-I.
What?
On multiple occasions, I see texts or tweets.
Well, how would you spell Josi?
I would spell it J-O-S-I.
Well, I mean, if you just said it out loud, how would you spell it?
Well, okay, this is getting to my point, so just quiet you. And then my co-host, who has been in this market for 20 years, people still can't spell Willie Donick right. It's not W-I-L-L-I-E. It is W-I-L-L-Y. It's on a freaking billboard.
Boards, you just made plural. The list.
Plural. Now, Darren, yeah, they get you pretty much. But I have seen some D-A-R-R-I-N.
I-N's, yeah. Yep. That's the only time it's met. You, or one R sometimes.
I've seen Jared's as J-A-R-O-D, Gerard. And so I've seen multiple instances of this. And I told Ryan, I was like, this is going to be my list when I saw the Josi thing. This is going to be my list on Friday because this stuff infuriates me. I mean, these are famous people that have been around for a long time. How can you not spell their name right? Especially my guy, Willie. I'm sticking up for my dude that you can't spell his name right. So do a little research. Pay attention. Get the names right. Otherwise,
you just made the list.
Feel better.
It's been going on as long as I can remember. The IE
I know.
Oh, yeah. It's been going on as long
well,
as
and you've only
I can
known
remember.
Me about half my life. It's been happening my whole life for sure, going back to the first grade, so I'm used to it.
We had a engineer that we used to work with who said that Y is just the incorrect way to spell it. I mean, the IE is the correct spelling. And we looked at him like, says who? You? He's like, no, everybody. We're like, no, that's incorrect. That is false.
IE would be more common.
Yes.
But certainly not the way.
And we've added another one to the mix with Robbie. Robbie Stanley. Robbie is R-O-B-B-Y, not I-E. So now we're going to have to deal with that.
But I will say I've seen.
Welcome to the club.
I've seen I-E with Robbie more than I've seen Y over the years.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen Y more than I just.
Really? I my experience is
no?
IE is more.
So it's
common.
Probably the same for both?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. But my point is.
Just check.
Just
check.
Just learn it. It's their name. It's not your decision on what's the right spelling for their name. Their parents decided, you know what? Y is different. I'm going with Y. So you got to respect, because if you don't learn it, you're not disrespect. Not only disrespecting them, you're disrespecting their parents, and nobody likes that.
I think call my parents. They're going to be very happy.
I think Free Willy is also spelt the same way. So if you need a reference.
I think that's right. That's true.
Free Willy, the whale, is also W-I-L-L-Y. So Willy Donick, like Free Willy the whale.
Yeah.
It is. There you go.
Very good.
Thank you. I want to see Yossi with a Y. You got to send me that, Jace. I want to see that.
That is a first.
That is, come on.
That is bad.
He's the captain.
It's the Norse Trophy.
I mean, come on. Right.
I mean, I get people say Josie or like we've heard Bayard or okay, at least the spelling's right. Like, come on.
This happened to me several times in the last week since this time last Friday. And I've got to be honest, it's just I didn't realize it was going to set me off as much as it did, just because it takes 1 second. It's the right thing to do. Oh, by the way, let's just start there. It's the right thing to do. But two, how hard is it to do this? And respect what's around you. When you are driving and you are getting ready to turn and you're not in a turning lane, okay, you're on a road where maybe people have, there is no light, okay? There is no light. There is no turning lane. And you have people behind you, but more importantly, you have people sitting there waiting to turn onto that main artery, okay, that road. And you don't bother to put your turn signal on, and you are just coming and coming, and so you have to wait for them because you think they're going to blow by you, and then they stop and then turn right before you. That happened like 3 times this week. And by the way, all 3 times, no one behind them. If they had put on their turn signal, now you still have to trust that they've done the right thing. I understand that's still a risk. But there's no one behind. I could go on and make my move. But instead, they're just driving down. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to turn right here. No turn signal, no nothing. And I'm like, oh, thanks. I could have already turned and been going down the road. But since you didn't bother to let me know and signal that you were going to turn right here, I had to sit and wait. It's a simple thing. By the way, it's the right thing to do, but also have a little courtesy for everybody around you. Just let them know, hey, I'm going to turn right here. Hey,
so simple.
Driver, I'm turning right here. So you can go on and make your move. Make your move. I'm turning right here where you are, where you're coming out. Make your move. It's okay. But no. So those folks that don't have 1 second of their life to hit the turn signal and let everybody know that you're going to turn, yeah, you just made the list. Willie?
Very good. I have two. The first one is the Pittsburgh football team.
Wait a minute. It was only Washington FT. Now there's a Pittsburgh FT?
This would be the Pittsburgh Panthers football team, the college version. I was watching their game against Notre Dame. I had to squint and look and try to figure out what was going on. And then I got to give credit to Sean McDonough, who kind of said it for me. I don't know if you guys saw the uniforms that Pittsburgh wore, but they had no semblance of either color. Pittsburgh's colors are what?
They'll be black and gold.
More of a blue and gold.
Oh, they, I'm sorry.
We're not talking about the Steelers. We're talking about the Panthers. Okay. Dan Marino, Pitt, Tony Dorsett. They wore these gray uniforms that had no blue and no gold. It was all gray. The numbers were gray. The jerseys were gray. The pants were gray. The helmets were gray. And Sean McDonough, like in the second quarter, finally just said, "Wear your colors." He said, "These are your school colors. You don't know who's playing. Like this was a home game." That was just bizarre. I'm not a fan of going away from your school colors, even if it is some cool gray one-time only thing. You're playing Notre Dame. They have nice uniforms. I mean, Pittsburgh has cool uniforms. I like the old school.
I love the old school.
From the Tony Dorsett, Dan Marino era.
Yeah.
The Johnny Majors. I mean, those were cool. Those are iconic.
Hugh Green. Yeah.
Those are recognizable. And they went back to the sort of their retro look in the past years. And they come out in all gray.
Yeah.
Where are your school colors? So Pittsburgh and all teams that wear all gray uniforms thinking it's cool.
You just made the list.
And then so I do want to say.
So you don't like the smoky grays? Is that what you're telling us?
Well, the smoky gray at least had some orange in there, right?
That's some orange on the helmet, including the tee.
Yeah.
Which is
well,
the
least, number, at least they had
the numbers were
orange
too,
in there.
I think.
Yeah, they had some orange in there, at least. I wasn't a fan of them. I wouldn't have done it, but at least there was some orange in there. Pittsburgh didn't even have any gold or blue. It was weird. And then I want to say one more thing, guys. And, you know, at the risk of being redundant, but we got to say it. I'm looking at Tom Crager's Twitter handle here. 7 high school football games canceled in the mid-state this week. The playoffs are coming up. We had over 90,000 cases. We're hitting new highs every day as a country with the cases. We have got to have the masking. We have got to do, and if we're not, if there's the people that are still out there holding out and not doing it, there's too many of them. I would have thought by now we'd been past this, right? But we're not. We're clearly not. I'm holding my breath. I really want to see the football playoffs, right? I want to see a high school basketball season. I want to see a college basketball season. I want to see NHL hockey. But if the fact is, if we don't do it, it's going to get worse, and I don't know how we're going to pull it off.
Well, the good news
really
is most
concerned.
Counties have gone back to like Rutherford County started back today, back mask mandate. So I don't know why we get away from it. Just make people
do it.
Got to
do it.
Just, you know, I mean, I honestly I'm like tired of this soap. I'm like, it's 8 months we've been saying it.
We're all tired of it, but Darren, 7 games are
canceled.
Well, guess
what? It's not like somebody heard that for the first time and went, huh. I didn't think about that. Look, either you're gonna do it and comply, or you've chosen not to.
Right. So you're not thinking of anybody else. You don't care whether we see the high school football playoffs.
8 months later, if you need a reminder, 8 months you need somebody to tell you, then that just means you weren't interested in doing it.
Right. So you don't care about others. Then
clearly that's their message.
This is the theme of your thing.
That's their message.
Be considerate of others when you turn signal. That's one of the reasons you do that. It's the same thing.
Yes.
Be considerate
Absolutely.
Of others. If you want to see the high school football playoffs, if you want to see high school basketball and other winter sports, this is a given. We have to do it. And if we have to do it more than we're doing now, or else I just don't know how we're going to pull it off.
Well, like I said, most of the counties who got away from the mask mandate, it's all back within the last week. Like I said, Rutherford County, I think, started back up either yesterday or today, back to got to wear a mask.
Yeah, and so
most counties have done that.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not going to – you can't go back and have a do-over, right? So even though I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you should have done it before. There's nothing you can do about it. But from this day forward, you can do something about it, right? I'm just what's the bracket going to look like? How are they going to get through a 4-week schedule? I'm just hoping, crossing my fingers, that we can get through the playoffs and we have championships.
All right, $25 gift card to Burger Republic on the line, but we need to know who or what is on your list. Dan, get us started. Who or what is on your list?
Well, I don't know, Darren. There was you made his point about traffic and whatnot, and I had a good list here, someone to put on there, but you made a valid point, and with some of the things that I do and how I have to drive from time to time with emergency services, I mean, there's times where traffic just doesn't pay any attention whatsoever. So I could put that on the list, but I'm going to leave that alone, man. I don't want to get myself in trouble on that one.
Can I ask something, Dan, real quick? Do you have people, like, I've always wondered, do you have people, like, look at you like they're frustrated, like, man, you're making me get over, you know, I've got a place to be too, like, and then you want to go, really? Are you really looking at us? We're trying to help somebody, and you're looking at us side-eyed? Do you get that?
I could tell you
your laughter tells the story.
I could tell you some stories, man. It would it would be appalling. It really would.
I bet it would.
But no, what I'm kind of curious is I could harp on Mr. on Jared there with the GM, but I'm gonna leave that one alone. Everybody else beat that dead horse. So I'm gonna go. I'm a huge Detroit Lions fan. And forgive me, I cannot remember which one it is. It's either Robbie or Rex Road, but one of them actually has a son that is a Lions fan. And he turns around and about once a week, or at least right around Monday or Tuesday, he'll start talking about him. And you could say it's either the Debbie Downer, maybe the Negative Nancy, however you want to put it. But he's always sitting there. He's like, hey, I'm trying to convert the kid over to the Titans, blah, 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 to save him from disappointment. But you got to have that positivity, man. It's already bad enough up there in that poor state with the way things are going up there. Let's have some positivity about it, and let's root on for these Lions, man. And so it's either Robbie or Rex.
It's Rex Road. You're talking about.
It's Rex Road for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So Rex Road, my man. Hey, you made the list.
You just made the list.
Now he's one of us. Now he's one of us. Joe Rex Road is now in.
Has made the list for the first time. This is huge.
It's a badge of honor. It's a badge of honor. Welcome, Joe.
Welcome to the club, Joe. By the way, the Lions have won 2 in a row.
Yeah, they're not that bad.
Albeit against Jacksonville and Atlanta. But, hey, they have won 2 in a row, and they need to beat Indy this week.
Hey, man, I got to keep that positivity.
That's right. Thank you, Dan.
Guys, I appreciate it.
Rex Road, put on the list.
I love it.
First time.
Welcome, Joe.
All right, 615-737-1025. You know what? I'm glad Dan didn't ruin the day because I bet he could tell stories of people that I would just like, okay, we're done. Like I would just probably say, let's just flip it in the network and call it because, people, like really? You could tell by his laugh, right? Like, are you kidding me? All right, let's go to Doug. Doug's always got a story. Doug, who or what is on your list?
Fellas, we know that we're approaching the Candyfield weekend known as Halloween, and my company has always been a big supporter, and some of us had to go to the post office to mail some things, and we're socially distancing and have our mask on, and the lady comes up to us and tells us how she's always liked the way we gave away candy because, big or small, young or old, we give candy to them all. We don't discriminate. We give you a lot of candy. So she was telling us how her kids, who are not on the small side, have always enjoyed coming and getting candy because we give away goo gobbles of it. So she's asking us, are we going to give away candy this weekend like we always have? And I said, well, ma'am, probably not. So she gives me the riot act of you've always done it and people support you and you should be ashamed of yourself for not giving candy. And for what reason? I know that times are hard and people are not working with you guys. People depend on you to give candy. What's the reason why you guys aren't giving candy this year? And I pointed to the logo at the post office and I said, COVID maybe? And she looks at me and says, oh, I forgot about that. So, ma'am, I don't know where you've been living. But
I forgot.
We're all standing here in line. So for you to not know that Halloween's going to be a little compromised this year, you just made
the list.
What a line. Oh, yeah, that COVID thing. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
I even pointed to the logo on the door. We're all standing there with our mask on. And she just gives me the wagging finger of, you guys ought to be ashamed of yourself. Kids depend on it. And I said, ma'am, COVID maybe is maybe. Why we're not giving candy.
Pandemic, possibly. Thank you, Doug.
Not just locally, all over the world. The news, yeah. The radio, internet. Presidents talk about it.
Darren, are you expecting people to come to your door tonight?
Tomorrow night?
I mean, tomorrow night, yeah.
Yeah, yes. I guess, yes. We are.
So are you shutting down or are you?
Nope.
We have not talked about our plan. We honestly. I guess
it's something that we need. This is everybody has to decide, right? I mean.
Yes. But we have not. We have not come up with the plan. I mean, Maddox has a costume, but he's a skull trooper. I guess that's some Fortnite thing. But I don't know what we're doing. Like, I'm just along for the ride, man. I'm a warm body.
but it's an important decision.
Are you going to dress up as Frankenstein? Because you can pull that off.
No, I've already told you guys.
I know, don't like Halloween.
I'm not. Halloween is my least favorite holiday, least favorite. But I don't want to get into that because I don't make people. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer about Halloween because a lot of people enjoy it. But it's my least favorite holiday, period. Thank you, Doug.
Anytime, fellas.
You might have to go on the list for that, Darren.
It's not a secret. I've said it many times.
It's not my favorite either.
It's my least favorite, honestly.
Like, I participate. I dress up. You know, I went to a little gathering.
But you have the tradition, Chase. You and Joe getting some costumes going.
I did that yesterday.
Come on.
If you guys saw it on Twitter.
Nice dress. Nice dress.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I was Prince
speaking
as well.
Speaking of wagging. Was that you wagging your finger at Doug?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. Angry. What were you? Angry what?
I was the name of the costume was Overbearing Mother.
Overbearing Mother. Let's go to Nate. Nate, who or what is on your list?
The people that are on my list are some of the callers who call into the company I work for. Most are good about being responsive over the phone by saying thanks or okay before being transferred. But the ones who sit in silence are on my list. I take calls all day, and when I say, hold on 1 second before I transfer them, I wait a second or two for them to respond. And when I don't hear anything, like any, you know, reasonable person, I hit the transfer button. The people who sit in silence throw me off because I don't know who is going to sit in silence or respond to being transferred. I like to tell people no problem before I transfer them because we're in the South. It feels polite. And I know some people, not many, but some, feel bad for calling either the wrong place or they don't know where to call and they feel like they're getting in the way of us doing other things for work. But I like to, you know, tell them it's no problem before I transfer them because I feel like it would make them feel better. Now, sometimes the callers say thanks. I say thanks, or they say thanks right before I hit the transfer button. And I feel bad because I feel like I'm cutting them off. And I feel like this is kind of a product of the silent callers. So to the silent callers who make it difficult on me to provide excellent customer service to the company or for the company.
You just made the list.
Do y'all understand what I'm saying at all?
Yeah, Nate's just looking for a little response. Have a pulse. That's it. Just say something.
Exactly. Exactly. I say, okay, I'm going to transfer you now. And then, you know, just you see that they're still on the phone.
All you have to do is say, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thanks or whatever.
Right. All right. Thank you, Nate.
Thank y'all.
Let's go to Tony. Tony, who or what is on your list? He's on the phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Good afternoon, guys. Tell you who's on my list. We've all experienced this. We've all seen it. These people, you go to the grocery store, and you see these people park 15, 20 parking spaces away from the door so they can get their walk in. And they'll walk all the way up there, and then they get the groceries. They'll walk all the way back 15, 20 minutes later, unload the groceries, put them in the car, but won't walk 15 feet more to put the buggy over in the car bin return. They leave it right at the car. That disturbs me, and I have been a victim before, and maybe y'all have too, where the cart has rolled and hit your car.
You've got to get out before you park and do somebody's dirty work so you can have the parking space.
Right, and those people have made my list because they're inconsiderate, they're selfish. They're all about themselves when they want to do their little walk, get their walk in, and, I'm fit, but they're not fit enough to take their cart to the cart return bin.
And don't forget lazy. It's just laziness. Come on. Do it.
There you go.
Thank you, Tony. That's a good one.
You just made the list.
You know, they build those cart corrals for a reason. Come on. Just They've done that. By the way, they've chewed up parking spaces to do that. Just go take it over there. To me, it's the same. I feel the same as littering. I would.
Yeah, it's bad.
If I just left the cart sitting there, it's the same as littering. There's no way I could walk away from. There's no way I could pull away from just leaving a cart there.
Definitely not in the middle of the parking lot. Come on.
Yeah, and more stores have added a place to put your cart. I mean, you have multiple options of putting the cart back. It's really not that hard.
The only screw up in the system now is the mid-size cart, where they don't all lock in the same because you got the mid-size with the full size. It kind of goofs up the corrals there.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, but they've also have some with lanes. If you notice that in the corral.
Now, that's on top of it. My grocery store does not. It's total chaos. Okay. It's all sizes in the same thing. It's all messed up.
It's all chaos. All right, I think we're getting Elijah telling us that we probably need to break. I'm sorry we couldn't get to everybody. Come back with Mike Vrabel. We'll hear from Titans head coach. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's head over to the Titans facility, and let's hear from the head coach of the Titans, Mike Vrabel, and that's brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Here's the head coach.
Just got the one day of practice. Do you feel like this week, getting a few days in there, was at least a sign of some progress, and did you see anything you liked in that regard?
You know, there's always things that, you know, that we like. There's things that we have to continue to improve on all areas, in all, as players and coaches and how we prepare, how we meet, So Isaiah's kind of in line with that group of everybody that needs to continue to improve and get back out there. You know, the schedule wasn't very good to him as far as his return. And, you know, now that he's been able to have some practice, we're showing signs that we're getting back into it.
Sure. And on Adoree, I know he'd been out there for a couple weeks and didn't see him out there today. Just wondering, is that any kind of a setback, or is it more like a maintenance thing for Adoree?
Just the decision that we made with Todd and training staff and Frank about, what was best for Adoree today.
Thank you.
Terry?
Mike, the bye week kind of was – odd for you guys, to say the least. And usually that's a time to self-evaluate and kind of take inventory of what needs to be improved on. How have you been able to do that, or have you been able to do that since you've gotten back into the swing of things? And going forward, do you think you'll figure out ways to kind of do those things?
I think, Terry, we're always, looking at what we do and how we get better. And I don't think that necessarily falls in line with the bye week. You may have a little longer, more time or more opportunity to do some of those things. But, I think that we try to do that in all three phases and evaluate what we're doing coming after each game and what we have to improve on, whether we win or whether we lose.
Buck?
Hey, Mike, with young guys like Roberson and David Long, how have they kind of progressed over the course of the season, and how can they help contribute to what you guys are doing on game day more?
Well, as backup players, it's important to have vital, important, critical roles on special teams. It's also important to have versatility, to be able to play more than one position. Those are decisions that we make, just when you go into the game about how to get guys there. Those are two young players that, we're excited about working with and continue to practice and try to get those guys, some snaps. And that's the challenge of trying to get a roster and form a roster each and every week on the games.
Chris?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Great.
Good.
I want to ask you about AJ Brown. So like when you draft a guy, what goes into the projections that you may have on how quickly a player can make an immediate impact? And then for him, where did he fall and what has he done over the, you know, year and a half that he's been with you guys to show that he is such an impactful player?
I mean, I think you just try to identify guys that, you know, probably have maybe played in some meaningful games, have done it at a consistent level in college. Their durability, you know, it's always a transition, so you never want to try to, you know, guarantee that this guy, this particular player, is going to come in and have success, or maybe take a little longer time. And again, we're conscious of that. We understand that it takes some players longer to develop into this level than it does others. What their strength is like, what some guys mature at different times, different ages. Some guys are a lot more prepared and ready to handle that transition. And in particular case for AJ, you know, I think it probably took him, you know, a little bit, you know, to get going. I don't think it was like, you know, so something that was amazing from the get-go. You know, we made him earn his spot, and, you know, he got in there and continued to work and develop, and I think he continues to do that now.
And as far as his toughness level, Mike, what have you seen from him?
What kind of tough? I mean, I guess what kind of toughness are we trying to define here?
Sure. I just meant like let's take, for instance, the last couple of weeks, maybe playing through the pain and getting ready to go, and then toughness level during a game, going up, winning 50-50 balls, yards after, all that stuff.
I think that everybody, admittedly, isn't 100% at this point in the season. You know, so if we waited till everybody was 100%, we'd have a tough time fielding the roster on game day, but. AJ does the necessary things to get out there and has been available for us the last couple of weeks and been impactful and made an impact in the games. You know, and then I think just the physical toughness, he has no issues going inside. You know, that's something that, you know, he doesn't flinch when he goes in there and, you know, takes advantage of that, quite frankly. You know, I think he's strong after the catch and it doesn't appear to me to flinch when he goes inside.
David Beauclair.
Mike, did you learn anything going through those last three games in it, which were at a condensed amount of time, that maybe you can use to set your practice schedule the next couple weeks now that you've got another three-game stretch here in a little less than 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, we've had that stretch before. You know, we've done that. I think it was three games in 11 days, you know, so that's been done. You know, we just basically see who's available, see how guys feel, and structure the practices accordingly. You know, we've been through different scenarios, David, in the last, you know, 2.5 years that we've been here as far as scheduling. So we try to draw on that and use those days to try to, you know, set the schedule going forward.
Is it easier to sort of dial back practices in favor of rest these days, given that you have a bunch you've been with and have, you know, been through the wars with now for a while?
I don't ever look at it like that. I just, because the opponent, you know, is different each week, the challenge is different each week, and so whether we're, you know, walking through more maybe before coming off of a, you know, going to a Sunday to a Thursday game, you know, maybe a lot more walkthroughs or jog through, you know, coming off of a week that we were, you know, had two close games like the, you know, the Houston and the Buffalo and the Houston game, you know, guys were, you know, pretty sore, tired. And so we probably maybe jogged through a little bit more, but taking it and trying to be a professional enough to do the walkthrough and get something out of it, you know, and it, that's the challenge. That how can you continue to improve what that?
Well, Mike Vrabel has cut out, and you know that's happened with some media members where They've had some connection issues. It seems like the head coach may be experiencing that. So we'll try to get him
really back. Big one last week.
There we go.
We're back.
What is
and we're back.
The key, because you guys never really seem to have like those letdown games. What's the key to making sure that each week you come out and you put your best effort forward?
I mean, that's all our job is, you know, to go out and play as hard as we can, as well as we can against every opponent. You know, I mean, we try to show them tape, start fast, show them, you know, show them clips of Indy being down 21-0 at home, you know, fumbling on the second play, you know, letting them run the football on them, push them around, you know, and then come back and, you know, go three and out, punt. Bengals go down the field, hit a big play, get it down to the three, score again. You know, it's 14-0, maybe 10 or 11 minutes into the game. So, you know, that's our job every week is to be ready to go no matter who the opponent is.
John?
And Mike, I was curious if you've got a general rule of thumb, like you know, for instance, this week a couple of your guys missed a couple days in the, earlier in the week and then came back today. Is there a general rule of thumb that you kind of favor veterans being able to do that more than a younger player would be able to just have like a Friday practice and then be ready for a game on Sunday?
I think everything's on a case by case basis. You know, sometimes guys are ready to play or guys, you know, or what role are they possibly playing in the game? So I think we would try to look at that each and every week per the situation or per the person, John, that could be applied to.
Gotcha. My last would be anybody you can rule out
for the weekend? When you say gotcha, does that mean like he didn't really give me the answer I wanted or gotcha? Like
that just means I've heard your answer.
Gotcha. Gotcha means I didn't like your answer, right? I didn't like it. It wasn't what I wanted. That's what Rex Rhodes saying.
That's because he's such a cynic, not me.
He is amazing. He just sits back in the back and types in the chat room. And
exactly.
I don't want to interrupt these outstanding questions. You know, I want everyone else to be able to get these great questions in.
Oh, I know. Dane didn't do well coming off that game. So Dane's going to be ruled as out. You know, that's again, that's just what kind of sometimes, unfortunately, what happens. And you know, we tried to get him back out there, get him moving, give him some practice, and then just probably was sore and wasn't going to be ready for this game. So we'll rule Dane out, and other than that, I don't think anybody else would be ruled as out.
Thank you. Gotcha.
Last one, Terry.
Rule of thumb.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. when you have players who you know are going to be out or going to be questionable, and you have other guys with different skill sets, obviously, that have to come in and fill in, how much does that require tweaking and adjusting game plans and schemes to fit the second player's skill set, knowing that he operates differently than the first player?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the challenge of saying, hey, you know, that happens a lot probably in the game. You know, like, okay, so-and-so is down. Like, these are the adjustments that we have to make. And sometimes we've done them good enough, and sometimes we haven't done them so well. But I think you try to be conscious of that, or saying, okay, if this guy has to play another position, let's pare down maybe what he needs to know or what he'll be able to – how he'll be able to function and operate to give himself the best chance to go out there and play well, and obviously to help the team. So I think that there's a lot of that goes on, Terry, when you start to move pieces around late in the week or during the game, which seems to come up.
They're asking, is Fulton out as well?
Fulton's out as well. There you go, Robbie.
That's a wrap.
Okay, that is Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, and we'll discuss some things that we heard on the other side. Right now, I want to talk to you about legal sports betting coming to our great state of Tennessee. And the best way to get in the action is with DraftKings. DraftKings is bringing their experience as a leader in daily fantasy sports to the sports betting world, and they've created America's top-rated sportsbook app, DraftKings Sportsbook. To celebrate this momentous event, DraftKings is giving everyone who registers now a $50 free bet to use once DraftKings Sportsbook is fully operational in Tennessee. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code 1025GAME. When you sign up, those who sign up right now, you'll get a $50 free bet to use once mobile sports betting hits Tennessee. That code, 1025GAME, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem or wants help, you can call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That Mike Vrabel press conference was brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Lee Sterling coming up from Paramount Sports to start the fourth and final hour, along with Pick 6. We're going to have some fun with that. We'll be looking for your participation. What stood out to you guys on what we heard from the head coach?
Well, I think we're all curious about the injury report. They did get some guys back on the field, but there are some concerns. It sounds like did they verify that Christian Fulton is out at the very end?
Fulton is out. Dan Cruikshank is out.
And Cruikshank is, you know, he's a key guy on special teams, role player. That's not quite as critical. But Fulton being out, and they still have now Jonathan Joseph was back today. Ty Smith still up in the air. I guess they didn't really make a ruling on him, at least there, but he didn't practice.
He said that they're, you know, and he corrected himself with Christian Fulton, but he said that those were the only two that are listed as out right now. Now, I mean,
right, so but it's still up in the air. So you got a numbers issue,
yeah,
in the defensive secondary, because it certainly didn't sound to me like Adoree Jackson's going to play.
He wasn't out there today.
Wasn't out there, and all that
he's
said
technically
was
not on the roster still. So.
Right. So he, I mean, in theory,
really
he could be activated
me.
On Sunday, but he said this is the decision we made in the best interest of Adoree. In other words, not practicing today. He's been practicing, but he didn't practice today. So that could be deemed as a setback. The question was asked to Coach Vrabel, is this a setback? And he did not say. It doesn't look good, though.
So, I mean, that is certainly a big concern on what's going to happen there with him. But we'll find out. The injury report, I would imagine, will be trickling out here shortly. The full injury report. And so maybe
now Dennis Kelly was out there, so that's a good thing.
Yep.
And Jadeveon Clowney was able to practice today, so that was good.
Yep. Isaiah Wilson had his first full week of practice.
Hey.
Wow.
Progress.
Let's give him
October 30th.
Golf clap.
Wow. How about that, huh?
Gotta go up the stairs one step at a time.
The last weekend like in April, that. Last week in October, first round pick out on the practice field. All right, progress,
long season.
Well, it
long
is funny.
Season.
Terry, I think, brought it up, but the comparisons to Albert Haynesworth, and we all know that Jeff Fisher and company, they had to work with Albert. They had to work with him quite a bit, and then look at what he became. So,
well, it was really Washburn.
Or Washburn, yeah.
That was really the – I mean, Washburn was obviously trying to mold him at a very, very young age. He, remember, he was drafted, I think he was 20.
Yeah.
When he was drafted,
yeah.
He was
well,
very
that's,
young.
And that's Isaiah Wilson. He's a year younger than he could have been if he'd gone back to school.
And I don't think that Albert had been pushed like – what Jim Washburn was doing to him. And so they obviously had their moments very early on and their clashes. And, you know, obviously Albert has credited Washburn for a big part of his career, you know, after the fact. But, you know, early on, there's a lot of growing pains with Albert for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's what it is with Isaiah, that It's just it's a rough go right now, but they see enough to make them think, all right, we can turn this around. Now, it's also a different, you know, it's funny. 10 years ago and now, I mean, it seems like it's 100 years of just how different players are, you know, with their access to social media and their phones. And, I mean, I can remember Jeff Fisher came on, I think it was with the morning show, but he said that, you know, there was a time I wouldn't allow cell phones in the meeting room. And he told a story about he threw one up against the wall because somebody had it. And now, you know, when he was with the Rams, he had to actually have breaks in meetings for them to go check their phone because everybody was getting so antsy of, oh, did I have a text or what have you? So, you know, the player has changed completely. So, but the hope is that Isaiah Wilson can bounce back from that and grow from it.
Congratulations, Willie. Your Mets, MLB, the owners, and MLB have approved Steve Cohen with his purchase. The Mets now have the wealthiest owner in baseball. So you now have the deepest pockets. So at least you have that going for you.
Well, and you might say, well, shouldn't that be the case? You're in New York. But with the Bernie Madoff stuff, the last decade, really, they have not had the freewheeling ability to go spend. Now, the question is, can they be smart about how they spend? Are they going to be more like the Dodgers, or are they going to be more like, you know, pick up, you know, maybe the Mets in the past, throwing dumb money at people? So you got to be smart with it, but I think it is going to help a lot. Now, this guy is an analytics guy. Steve Cohen, his business was based on that. He's been in some hot water, by the way, with the SEC, not our SEC, but the business SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. So he does not have a crystal clear background, but he does have a lot of money. He's a lifelong Mets fan. So this will be interesting.
He's worth about $14.5 billion, but he also paid, what, $2.5 billion for the Mets?
I can't even imagine what it would be like to have that much money.
I know.
Now, you guys seem to think I'd lose it all, which is...
No, you know. I don't think you could lose $14.5 billion. I really don't.
$14.5 million?
No, $14.5 no, I know, billion.
But do you think I could lose $14.5
million? Yes, you could. Yeah.
I mean,
that wouldn't... I mean, that's not... It sounds crazy, but that's actually not that hard to do.
No.
No. I'd love to find out, as would you. But yeah, $14.5 billion. Like I don't even know. I don't even know if that's even that's good for me. Like I don't even know if that's good. As in, you know, it sounds crazy, but what when you have that? Like what's your drive? What's your motive? I'd like to know. Like get in the head of those people. Like you have no worries. I mean, I know you do. Like, it's not that easy. Like, Like, wealthy people don't have. They do. They're sometimes just as messed up, if not worse, than people that are just, you know, middle class people. But like, what is your?
I think that's why this guy got into it.
What is
he,
it?
He's enjoyed the Mets. Before,
what's the push
so he
for
wants
you
to,
every day?
So the push is to win a championship.
Yeah. Okay. But what if you don't have that? So what if you just had 14? If you just gave Chase $14.5 billion, what's his motivation every day?
Well, because like think about it, like for you, both of us, we're TV snobs. We like nice TVs.
Would that go away instantly?
Right.
Like, okay, so
right.
You got a room full of the nicest TVs in the world. Okay, now what?
Right.
Like
I mean,
that. You
could buy
a
new one every year. Whenever the new one came out, you could.
Darren,
upgrade.
You're talking about. You know, the philosophy of life. You know, what does it mean to be happy in life?
I'm just trying to be honest.
Money doesn't always
I honestly don't think $14.5 billion would make me. I just feel like if you could have everything, then what is there to look forward to? What is there? What's the drive? What's the push? Would you keep – honest question. Would you keep yourself together? You know, would you work at – would you make sure – or would you like, I don't care about anything. You know, what do I care what I look like? I got $14.5 billion. Like, what's the drive? You know, could you make sure you did that? Did you keep yourself in check? I would hope so, but man, gosh.
I think I would feel more obligated to keep myself, you know, looking good because, you know,
How do you listen to anybody when you're worth $14.5 billion?
Yeah, you wouldn't. You know what I mean? Now, we know. I would invest. I would invest.
Did Jim Balsillie listen to anybody? Thankfully, he didn't.
No, he did not.
And thankfully, because of that, we still have a team that plays hockey here.
Here's the question, because and you're a competitor, so you like to compete. So would you play this game almost of, okay, I have $14 billion. How can I turn this into $15 billion? And then go.
Well, I think obviously they do. I mean, that's right. What they do.
And so, like, for me, I mean, I would invest. I would either – I don't know if I would buy a professional sports franchise. I'd probably buy a race team. I'd go start a NASCAR team because that's my love. And I'd hire the right people to run it. Like, hey, make me a winner. I'll just, you know, go to the races and cut the checks. I don't need to make the competitive decisions because that's above my head. But I would do something like that.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would definitely buy a sports team, and that would be my edge every day to wake up and try to put together, you know, make sure it's the most competitive team in the sport, whatever that team is, right? Whatever that sport is.
Right.
That would be me. I would have to have something like that. That would keep me, because I just think, honestly, that's just like too much. It sounds ridiculous to say, but I just kind of feel like that's almost too much money to have. Like, what do you need that much for?
You know what, though? I don't think we ever have to worry about it because we're probably never going to find out.
That was a waste of about 4 minutes of our life and everybody out there listening. All right, we'll come back. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. He'll get the final hour started next.